Merkel Media.
Flashback Fridays here on Macroaggressions, taking you back to 2-22-22. I'm sure you numerologists will have fun with that. Episode number 206, The Creatures from Sand Hill Road. Hey, if you're thinking of converting some of your soon-to-be worthless Federal Reserve notes into tangible gold and silver, talk to our sponsors, Wise Wolf. Get in the Wolfpack Auto Buy Program at www.macroaggressions.gold. Now enjoy the show.
What does the goddamn line say, Tony?
Please do not use gendered language.
Then what? I'll be arrested, put in airport jail.
Well, you're going completely sideways, man.
It's a big club, and you ain't in it.
How dare you?
Mr. Speaker, the President of the United States.
I'm Chris Hansen with Dave on NBC.
Jack Mary's Tack Theratrix.
Hi, I'm Spartacus.
Keith Jackson, Sacramento, he, him.
Steven Seagal.
Sex offender guy.
I'm Keith Morris.
This is Mumbai Gaddafi.
I'm Rick James, bitch.
Sorting through the lies.
The hijacker's passport was found blocks from the World Trade Center crash site, if you can believe that.
We cannot track $2.3 trillion in transactions.
And uncovering the centuries-long plan for world domination.
Learning about Cuba, having some food.
Let's talk about Chinese people.
Have you ever been in a Turkish prison?
I have
a
Swangled.
I have sent six of my Libyan missiles to blow up the Sears hardware department.
Nothing could be more fun than jumping off a cliff with two German bisexuals.
Oh, you English are so superior, aren't you?
Thank you, comrade.
And now, Macroaggressions.
That's what assholes call it.
With your host.
Buddy, I don't know who you are, but you're about to get chlamydia.
Charlie Robinson.
Hey, Whitey, where's your hat?
You want to drop the blame on Charlie and say it's all Charlie's fault.
He was a retard.
I get some goddamn diuretic.
Welcome to Macroaggressions. I'm your host, Charlie Robinson. If you are watching us on Iconic, Rockfin, Odyssey, not YouTube anymore, or band.video, or you're listening wherever podcasts are served, thanks so much. We appreciate your amazing and continued support. And YouTube, you know how it goes. I got two strikes in 2 days, so you know I must be doing something right. So if you're interested, you might want to find the video formats elsewhere, like Rockfin. They're all there. You can get them on band.video. They're free there. So this is the game we have to play. Thank you to our sponsors that don't make us jump through unbelievable hoops like ThemTube does. Chemical Free Body has been tremendous. I'm such a big fan of the products. I'm a fan of the company. I love Tim James. He's been on the show 3 times. We talk about our health. I feel like it's such an integral part of getting yourselves ready. I mean, I think the whole point of the show is to try and start thinking about things in a different way, get yourself ready for what may be coming. And that preparation it shows itself in many different forms. One of the ways is to get yourself physically ready, start feeling better. Your whole life is better when you feel better. And once you get sick, and we all have been sick, but when you feel sick, you remember, oh, yes, it's so important to have good health. Chemical Free Body has been tremendous for me. I got my business partners, one of my partners over in Vegas, on the program, on the total toxin and gut and detox package that Tim James has, the 90-day program that I went through. And he's like, oh my God, he's like, it just is cleaning him out too. So look, I think it's important for us to be physically ready for what we're facing. If you are interested, go to chemicalfreebody.com/macro. Just take a look. I did a 2-minute video showing what happened to me last year when Tim put me through the 90-day gut and toxin detox challenge. And it just leaned me out so much. I lost 14 pounds and I didn't have 14 pounds to lose. I'm not saying that you'll have that same result, but what I will say is that it will clean you out. You will feel a whole lot better. It's a detox in a box. So use the promo code MACRO on your way out to save yourself some money. And also to True Hemp Science. They have been one of our newer sponsors. And I'll tell you what, in the CBD world, there's a lot of nonsense going on, but these guys are making a tremendous product using the best hemp out there. They're real craftsmen at what they're doing. They have an offer for you. If you purchase anything totaling $65 or more, True Hemp Science will send you also a bottle of their number 81 distillate. It's a $26 value. They'll send it to you. They like to put little goodies in there. So if you are in the market for CBD and you're not really sure who to use because there's a million of them out there, I'll tell you what, go to truehempscience.com/macroaggressions. Just read up on it. Just read up, see if you think it might be a good fit for you. If it is, you can use the promo code MACRO on your way out at the checkout page to save yourself some money. Oh, and this last one, since I've been thinking about it lately, and since you've got the guy from BlackRock coming out saying, oh yeah, I see the economy collapsing pretty soon, I think it'd be a good time for me to mention that we have a solution for that. Our partner Tony Arterburn, he's one of the co-hosts of America Unplugged. He's David Knight's fill-in host. He has a company called Wise Wolf Gold and Silver. They set up a website for us, www.macroaggressions.gold. If you go there, there's a landing page. He'll hook you up if you want to convert some of your soon to be worthless fiat currencies into tangible precious metals. He's the guy to talk to about that. If you have an investment account, he's also licensed to convert your investment account over to gold and silver. So you might want to talk to him about that. We've had lots of people doing that recently. I have a lot of feedback from Tony saying people are doing that. I think they're recognizing the signs on the wall. It's like, hey, look, if what I see is true and what we see coming actually winds up happening, this is a situation where you're going to want to make some moves ahead of time. So trust your gut. I think you know. I think you're right. I think you see what I see. You can't print 80% of all dollars into existence over a two-year period and not have hyperinflation. And what fights that the best? Well, gold traditionally has done that, but don't forget about silver. I love them both. So take a look. See if you're interested in doing that. www.macroaggressions.gold. Well, I'll tell you what. One of my favorite writers that I've been reading his work for, God, at least a decade, I would say, and watching his interviews is John Rappaport. And he has a website called No More Fake News. And he's, John Rappaport is so smart that he got No More Fake News, that domain name, back in like 2000 or something, or 1999. Like, so he knew about fake news. He was a reporter reporting on fake news. And he's really heavily involved in the medical industry. And I sent him an email asking, John, would you please come on the show? And he's like, well, I'm working so much on some writing. So maybe at some point, someday, we'll make that happen. But I'm a fan of his work. And one of the articles that he put out recently was really well timed as far as I was concerned, and it tackled a topic that I had been working on, and I thought that, well, given the timing of John's work, what he was discussing, the fact that I was getting into this anyway, I've mentioned it before, I think it's time to talk about the venture capital companies and their role in all of this. So we're going to call this episode The Creatures from Sand Hill Road, as a little bit of a nod to the great G. Edward Griffin, who wrote The Creature from Jekyll Island, talking about that banking system, the Federal Reserve, and the creation of that mechanism of financing. And I think that the venture capital companies, we have to keep an eye on them and their mechanism of financing too. And of course, the Sand Hill Road reference, if you're not familiar with that, is the famous road where a lot of the venture capital firms are located in Menlo Park and Palo Alto. So I think that what we, you know, a lot of what we talk about on the show, a lot of what we discuss has to do with following the dots, connecting the dots, you know, and seeing where that leads us. And And if you start to look at the financing of companies, you will find that it's very important who you take money from. There's a term in venture capital called smart money as opposed to dumb money. Now, the difference, money's money, right? But what makes money smart is when it comes with the right kind of connections attached to it. So if you need to borrow $1 million, you want to borrow it, you need the $1 million, but you would prefer that money to come from somebody that also has connections in the industry in which you're trying to grow your business. So venture capital firms bring smart money to the table. First of all, the people that are running the organizations typically are real smart guys and women. They are a lot of Harvards, a lot of Stanfords, a lot of MBAs, a lot of that stuff. And I'm not just talking about the computer scientist components that are there analyzing these companies too. I'm talking about the people at the top. You know, these are smart people. Now, and to be clear, having an MBA from Harvard doesn't necessarily mean that you're smart in every aspect of the world. And it doesn't necessarily mean that you're a dickhead. But there are a lot of dickheads that come out of Harvard with MBAs. Okay, so we'll just kind of get that out there. But I think that when you examine what's happening currently with things like GoFundMe and Spotify and the shit show that that they're involved in, when you look at these decisions and you go, that company is doing something that's insane. That company is doing something unethical or immoral, or it's taking money away from truckers. That is like, that's suicide. I mean, it's idiotic, of course, but you have to understand that sometimes, not all the times, but sometimes these decisions are not the CEO's to make. The board of directors carries a tremendous amount of weight and influence. And a lot of times you have to look on the board of directors to see what's going on. And when you do, from time to time, you can find a connection that just screams, this is a big problem. So I think that what I've done is I've got, you know, I've known about these VC funds in the Bay Area for a long, long time, you know, 30 years at least. I've had some sort of interest or an understanding of who they are, and they're fascinating. They fund transformational companies. I mean, if you look back on some of these big ones, and their list of companies that they have is jaw-dropping. And again, I'm not trying to say that venture capital companies are somehow evil, because I don't think that they are. However, I think that when venture capital companies partner with the World Economic Forum and InQtel, then you've got problems. And unfortunately, there's a lot of World Economic Forum and InQtel fingerprints all over these companies that are involved in the Joe Rogan situation with Spotify and GoFundMe. So what we're going to do is we're going to dig into, pardon me while I take a sip from my they/them mug. Got to get your pronouns right. I want to look back into the history, or just sort of a little bit of a, this is not meant to be a full deep dive, but a little bit of an understanding into some of these venture capital funds, who they are, who they're incubating, like who they're seed funding and Series A funding, these transformational, a lot of times digital companies, a lot of times like tech companies, but not always, and what that means to us. Because we see the outward facing CEOs. We see the logo, we see the name, we go to the website, we see what they're all about. What we don't know and what we don't see is what's going on behind the scenes with regard to the amount of pressure that's being put on some of these companies and CEOs to make decisions that are not the decisions that they would make. So before we just pile on the CEOs of GoFundMe and Daniel Ek over at Spotify, I think it behooves us to look into who's giving them money, who's sitting on their boards, why it matters, and what these companies are all about. So let's take a look at, first, let's start with, you know, I said that I don't think all venture capital funds are evil. I'll tell you one that I think is, and that's InQtel. That's a name that most people don't hear about. It's not, it doesn't get a whole lot of news in the press. And even if it did, you probably it probably would fly right by you. InQtel, InQtel. It is the venture capital arm of the CIA. Now, as you might imagine, the CIA has a reputation, not a good one. So when you are a startup company and the CIA says, hey, I like what you're doing there, we'd like to give you some money for it, you might say, thank you, but you're the CIA and, you know, no offense or anything, but like, it's going to look kind of bad that I'm trying to do like a, oh, I don't know, like a Facebook, and my list of venture capital partners are the CIA. You know, it just might turn people off to the fact, you know, because we are collecting a lot of data and we're in the data business, and we need the public's trust. And God, you know, like, fuck, could you just change your name or something? Like, we've got a branding problem. So the CIA, though evil as fuck, are smart. And they recognized, yeah, you're probably right. So what they did was in 1999 in Virginia, they started a company called InQtel. And what that is the venture capital funding arm of the Central Intelligence Agency. That's what it is. It's not a theory that that's what it is. That's what it is. It's admitted. It's not up for debate. So they've invested in a ton of companies. I mean, companies that whose names you'd never know. And I don't have time to go through, you know, 300 companies and try and figure out who's on the board of some, you know, company I've never even heard of. So we're going to we'll focus on a couple of the main ones. Like all of this, we're not going to do a deep dive into each one of these firms, but I want to talk about some of the companies that they are involved in and see if that changes the way you view this. So let's start with the first one. The first one that InQtel is involved with, a company called Keyhole. Now, I remember Keyhole back when it was Keyhole. And they had this cool program, right? You could like zoom down in from a satellite down to Earth and like go all the way down to like street level. You know, pick a place and just zoom, 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 zoom. This Keyhole technology was so amazing that Google bought it, and it's called Google Earth. So when you are using your Google Maps on day-to-day basis and you're using Google Earth and you're seeing that you've got that view on Google Maps of like the street view, the terrain view and all that, you know, where you can see all that, that is coming from the satellites from the company Keyhole. And Keyhole was owned by InQtel, the CIA. So the CIA satellites are the ones providing the mapping to Google. So in case you were wondering, I mean, in case, let's just get this out in the open. Google Maps is essentially the CIA's maps. So anywhere you go, they know where you're going. So keep that in mind. And as a sort of like semi-funny side note to this, as in terms of companies that InQtel funded that you may kind of be like, well, what the fuck are they doing? They funded Pokemon Go too. You remember that when you're out, not us, but you know, people out there had their phones and they're like chasing imaginary augmented reality type of things, you know, creatures around the city and getting points and everything. InQtel funded that. I'm not saying that they're trying to ruin the world with it. I'm just saying it's an unusual data point. So keep that in mind. Palantir. Now, if you know what Palantir the company is, Palantir is like 97% Department of Defense revenue. Like they get all their money from the government. They're a spy agency, but they're a privatized spy company that is founded by Peter Thiel. It's run by Alex Karp, and I think he's a sketchy dude. I think Peter Thiel's a sketchy dude too, but he's an unusual guy in the whole venture capital world because, you know, you remember he got outed as being gay, which is not a big deal. I don't think that anybody really cares about that, but he did commit the cardinal sin. He came out as a Republican, which was even worse. I mean, you can be gay in San Francisco running tech companies and nobody bats an eye, but God forbid you come out as Republican. They're like, what the fuck is wrong with Peter Thiel? Never mind the fact that he's got another company called Ambrosia, which is literally taking blood from children and selling it to rich people. Okay, so like, to draw your own conclusions. Oh, and by the way, you remember that scene in The Social Network, the Facebook movie, where they go out and they get a 10% investment for $500,000? That guy's Peter Thiel. He was the first Facebook president. He owned 10% of Facebook for 500 grand. I would say that is a hell of a deal. It made him a bunch of money. I don't think he holds Facebook stock anymore, if I recall correctly, although I'm not involved in his personal holdings. But I think I remember reading something that he had divested himself from all of his Facebook stock. But who cares, man? I mean, he made a lot of money doing that. He's part of the PayPal mafia. He was one of those guys, so he's tight with Elon Musk. And again, I'm not trying to say that Peter Thiel is necessarily a bad guy, but I am going to say that Palantir scares the shit out of me, you know, with their data mining and everything that they're involved in. So like I mentioned, InQtel also led an investment into Facebook. And there is rampant speculation, and I think pretty warranted, that they killed their LifeLog program in 2004. Well, the day that the CIA killed their LifeLog program in 2004 is the same day that the Facebook was registered as a company. Is that a coincidence? Maybe. But I think it's reasonable to think that they said, you know, maybe the CIA book, you know, isn't the greatest idea, LifeLog, you know, or maybe asking everyone to participate in this, knowing that it's run by the CIA, isn't the greatest advertising strategy. So they said, look, we still like the concept. Concept is golden. It's a great way to get a lot of data. But we're going to have to change our names, or we're going to have to step back so it doesn't look like we're running this show. Why don't we finance this Mark Zuckerberg kid who's got, you know, just coincidentally the same origin story as Bill Gates. Geeky freshman nerd at Harvard starts transformational technology company from his dorm room, stole the technology from somebody else, creates it and becomes multi-billionaire, gets involved in antitrust lawsuits with the government, starts his own foundation. I'm just saying, it's the exact same origin story. So is Mark Zuckerberg a puppet? Fuck, is Mark Zuckerberg a person? I think that's a realistic question. I saw him out there doing that wakeboarding thing, looking like a fucking android. I don't know. But I think it's reasonable to ask the question, is Mark Zuckerberg an actual human being? We'll do a poll on that. So, who else has InQtel funded? D-Wave. You know about D-Wave? The great Kev Baker had Jordy Rose, the CEO of D-Wave, on. That was a huge get for him. Kev was super excited. I remember getting that email from him saying, brother, I just got Jordy Rose booked. I was like, holy shit, you did it. Now, Jordy Rose was running a company called D-Wave. They're making quantum computers. And he explained, I don't think he did it on Kev's show, but on other presentations before, they said, well, what is D-Wave doing? I said, well, what we're doing is we're opening up parallel dimensions, going in and dragging information back. And they're like, from who? And he's like, from the entities on the other side. And everyone's like, what the fuck are you talking about, man? So anyway, he's moved on from D-Wave. He's doing, he's just doing robots, like a cyborg company instead. So nothing to worry about. Also, GitLab is financed by InQtel. So all these platforms where you've got all the uploads and everything for your, for software programs, InQtel. So something to be aware of. But and I think that it's worth mentioning that you remember I'm sure I've talked about Dark Winter, the simulation in 2001 that simulated the anthrax outbreak, where Saddam Hussein was sending anthrax and all these senators got it and Judith Miller got it, that deep state Judith Miller reporter in the simulation got it. And then in real life, someone sent her anthrax. Yeah, I'm sure that was just a fucking coincidence. But anyway, the person running that operation, Tara O'Toole, she was the executive vice president, she was the one who wrote the simulation for Dark Winter. She's the executive vice president at InQtel. Okay, so this is so that there's no mistaking. They're super duper deep into, I mean, what can, I guess, best be described as government fuckery, but on a level that you've never seen. When you're simulating terrorist attacks and then the terrorist attacks happen exactly the way you simulated it, Tara O'Toole was also involved in Event 201. So, you know, we'll put it out there. She is the former Undersecretary of Science and Technology at the Department of Homeland Security. She's a former director at Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Who do I remember being involved with Event 201? Bloomberg. Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Public Health. Who was involved in, who wrote the SPARS pandemic document? Johns Hopkins Bloomberg School of Health. Who was involved in Dark Winter? They were too. So, and in case that wasn't enough of a crazy resume for Tara O'Toole, she was a former Clinton Department of Energy officer. So deep state to her core. She is an executive vice president at InQtel, a very powerful and prominent person. So she's making decisions on how the CIA spends your money, your government money. Now, InQtel set up as nonprofit, so that allows them a little bit of flexibility where they're not necessarily investing in companies saying, well, you got to go public or we got to sell you. You know, we got hurry, hurry, hurry. I need to get a 100x return on this investment. They don't even really care about that. It's your money. They're good at throwing your money away. What they do care about is investing in technologies that benefit the CIA, which is the reason why they're involved in Palantir, Keyhole, Facebook, D-Wave, GitLab, and Pokemon Go. Although I don't know what Pokemon Go has to do with anything, but you watch. I guarantee you it's pulled every single piece of data off of your phone if you ever loaded that thing up. So we've got connections. Okay. So since we're talking about InQtel, let's talk about that. Let's talk about some of the connections these people have. So we've got a guy named Steve Bauscher, president InQtel, former general partner at InterWest. He was a partner there for almost a decade. That's a venture capital fund as well. That's a Silicon Valley venture capital fund. Ted Schlein sits on the board of InQtel as a partner at Kleiner, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers. We're going to get to them in a minute. So they have infiltrated Silicon Valley, though they are located in Virginia, and they have a lot of influence. Obviously. So let's talk about some of the people that they are involved with, shall we? Let's start with Greylock Partners. Have you heard of Greylock Partners? Do you know who Reid Hoffman is? Okay. He's tied to the World Economic Forum, not in a way Mark Benioff was, but if you remember that Alabama election fuckery that was going on, that was Reid Hoffman. He's part of the PayPal mafia, he's not PayPal mafia. He's part of the group. He's the founder of LinkedIn. And let's think about this for one second. You remember Dr. Robert Malone? He was nice enough to come on our Union of the Unwanted show. Then he went on Joe Rogan and broke the internet. Do you remember the first place to ban Dr. Robert Malone? LinkedIn, at the advisement of Reid Hoffman, I would suspect, and his ties to the World Economic Forum. So the founder of Greylock Partners sits on InQtel's board of directors. They're connected, okay? So when you see what Greylock is doing and the companies that they're investing in, just know that the founder of Greylock sits on the board of InQtel. And so there's communication back and forth. Now listen to the name, listen to these companies, and you tell me if you feel comfortable with the CIA being partnered up and close friends with the founder of this company. Dropbox, Workday, Airbnb, Coinbase, shit, Facebook, Discord, which would explain why Discord nuked my channel, by the way, Instagram, LinkedIn, Nextdoor, Pandora, Redfin, not to be confused with Rockfin, let me be clear, Redfin, real estate, different story, Roblox, House Party, and the InQtel connected company Greylock Partners also is one of the funders of GoFundMe. I'm sure that's a huge shock to everybody. Now, let me be clear. Some of these company names are going to come up on multiple VC, under multiple VC companies, because sometimes multiple firms are involved in raising money for these companies. Sometimes they lock it all out. You know, it's just one company's one VC company has got this new startup and they're the ones that are going to fund it. But sometimes when they're real big, they'll put them out and you'll see multiple. Like Airbnb is a prime example of this. Airbnb is on almost all of these lists. And I'm not trying to say that they're doing anything nefarious. I'm just trying to say that when you understand the connections, you have to be suspicious of everything, you know? And when you start to hear directives coming down and all of a sudden GoFundMe is doing something that is basically business suicide, then you know it's coming down from somebody who has a different agenda. And the only explanation for that is that they have ties to some deep government agency, World Economic Forum, Council on Foreign Relations, United Nations, one of these groups, right? And in the case of Greylock Partners and their investment in GoFundMe, they have ties to InQtel, which is the venture capital arm of the CIA. So does that mean that InQtel called up Greylock and told them to get on the phone with GoFundMe and tell them to do that? No, it doesn't necessarily mean that. It just means that there's a connection there. So I think that that's something to look at. And one I just mentioned earlier, Kleiner's, Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers. All right. This is, we've got InQtel board members. Okay. The people from Kleiner's, Perkins are on InQtel's board. You've got Al Gore as an advisor. I mean, that's it right there, right? Automatic disqualification with that guy. If for those of you that think he's just like the climate guy, you got to read a little bit more into Al Gore. He's a deep state scumbag of the highest order, and he's deeply involved with these globalist guys, the World Economic Forum, climate change scam, carbon tax hustle, all that shit. And Al Gore is an advisor to Kleiner Perkins. You've got Ryan Panchatisram, deputy chief technology officer under Obama. Heavily involved with Kleiner Perkins. So you've got the Obama administration checking in, and you've got Ted Schlein, who's on InQtel's board. So again, Kleiner Perkins people are on the board of directors at InQtel, the venture capital fund of the CIA. So who's Kleiner Perkins invested in? Oh God, man, this list is going to make your head spin. And again, I'm not trying to say that all of these companies are up to no good. They're not. I just think it's important to understand where they're getting their money from. And therefore, it opens up the possibility that there might be influence that is coming to them from people that are sitting on their boards. And their boards are intertwined with the boards of InQtel, among others. So, companies that Kleiner Perkins, Caulfield, and Byers has been involved in financing: Amazon, Twitter, Nest, Netscape, Peloton, Google, Square, AOL, Electronic Arts, Waze, DocuSign, Slack, Airbnb, Audible, Facebook again, Pinterest, Snapchat, Zynga, Uber, Beyond Meat, we know about that agenda, and last but not least, Spotify. So, a Spotify-connected company, Kleiner Perkins, investors in Spotify, big investors in Spotify, with ties to the CIA's venture capital firm. Again, I'm not saying that it means that they're necessarily doing anything nefarious. I'm just saying that the connection is there, okay? And so NQTEL is involved. But you know who's really involved? You know who really loves these VC firms? The World Economic Forum. And we've done a lot of work on this. We're not alone. Obviously, there's a lot of people talking about the World Economic Forum, and rightly so. They're up to no good. I think it's important to list out some of these companies, what they're doing, and we can just sort of follow that. So let's do this. I'm going to go to, let's start with Silver Lake Partners. They are a member of the World Economic Forum. They have invested in the following companies: Airbnb, again, Dell, Endeavor, which is IMG, which I had a relationship with IMG for a long time, IMG, UFC, William Morris. IMG is sports representation, IMG Academies, lots of sports content, live events, video production, things like that. UFC is the UFC, and William Morris is a talent representation company, which Endeavor is too. They both work together. But Silver Lake Partners, World Economic Forum tied Silver Lake Partners, deeply invested in Endeavor. GoodRx, so World Economic Forum wants to be in charge of sending you pills. Stripe, Twitter, which would explain the deplatforming, possibly, Peloton, and SolarWinds. Do you remember SolarWinds? You remember that? Kenneth Howe, chairman of Silver Lake Partners, sits on the board of SolarWinds. SolarWinds was the cyber attack that they said was Russian that hacked the Pentagon, Department of Homeland Security, Department of Energy, and the Treasury. SolarWinds is not just some obscure company. It's financed by Silver Lake Partners, which is a partner with the World Economic Forum. So it leads me to believe that that was maybe called on from on high. Who knows? Worth looking into. Let's drop down. KKR, Kohlberg, Kravitz, and Roberts. This is a firm that was established in 1976. It's one of those companies, private equity companies, been involved in all kinds of stuff, right? They've been around for a long, long time. They are also investors in, they're also a World Economic Forum partner. They are also invested in Endeavor, which, as I said, is IMG, UFC, William Morris. They are involved with Epic Games. And I would like you to know that they are involved with a company called Magic Leap. Do you know about Magic Leap? I've talked about it here before because there's a video I saw, and it must have been a decade ago. And it was of a school gymnasium. They got all the kids in there and they're all sitting in the bleachers, and they set up this technology, and there's a basketball court right in front, but there's nothing on the basketball court. And they made it look like a humpback whale jumped out of that basketball floor, turned over, and then splashed water all over the audience. It was holograms, but the audience reeled back like they were going to get soaked, all these kids, and went, whoa, you know, and then you're screaming. It's amazing. That's 10 years ago. That company, Magic Leap, is financed by KKR, a World Economic Forum company. Why does that matter? Well, I'll tell you why it matters. We might be way early on this, but we have heard about the fake alien invasion, right? And don't fit me for a tinfoil hat quite yet. But the fake alien invasion will most definitely rely on that sort of technology. So I think it's interesting. I was kind of interested when I ran across this. I went, okay. That might not mean much to anybody, but it meant something to me because I knew that video. I know what the technology is. I know what these maniacs at the World Economic Forum are planning. I know nothing is off the table. So at some point, if there's a fake alien invasion and it's using really sophisticated holographic technology, you can look back at Magic Leap. And if you dig into them a little bit, you'll find KKR. And when you find KKR, you'll find the World Economic Forum. So just throwing that out there, not trying to scare the shit out of everybody, but, you know, you're welcome. Sequoia Capital. Sequoia Capital is involved in a lot of stuff. I'm not totally convinced all of it is for our best interest. They're major investors in Chinese semiconductor firms. Again, it's hard to tell sometimes whether this is about making money or about some sort of other agenda. And it's possible it could be both. You know, these groups are in the business of making money. And there's nothing inherently nefarious about that as long as you're open about what your role is. So if you're Sequoia Capital and you say, we have money to deploy and our intention is that we want to get 10 times our money back from these companies, and sometimes we get big ones and sometimes they fizzle out, but we run the numbers and that's what we're looking for. We want a 10x return on this. There's nothing wrong with saying that. There's nothing wrong with that being your business model. It's your money. It's your right to do all that stuff. I don't have a problem with that at all. In fact, companies looking for money go to these firms, these VC firms, to get this money. Now, the money comes, like I said, there's sometimes smart money, which can be like turbocharge your growth. It's amazing if you get smart money. But it also comes with strings. They're going to put people on your board of directors. That's a given. And those people are going to have voting rights and they're going to have say in how this business is driven. So sometimes you get the wrong people driving the business. And when you've got the World Economic Forum partnered with Sequoia Capital, it's reasonable to take a look at the companies that they're investing in to see if you see anything that makes you nervous. So let's start right off the bat. 23andMe. Okay. Do not participate in Ancestry.com and 23andMe and any of these places that want to test your genes, that you stick something in your mouth or swab your nose or stick a tube up your butt or whatever it is they need you to do, and then send it off to them and they go, oh, you're 48% Czechoslovakian. And you're like, great. Don't do that, because this is you're losing, you don't know what they're doing with this genetic information that they have from you. And considering we know what the World Economic Forum is doing with regard to their emphasis and their interest in genomes and the Wellcome Trust and what they're interested in doing with the Human Genome Project. And then you find that the World Economic Forum connected Sequoia Capital is financing 23andMe, and they're not alone. It's something to consider. DoorDash is another Sequoia company. Apple, FTX Crypto Exchange, Airbnb, Stripe, Square, Instagram, WhatsApp, Instacart, Google, LinkedIn, PayPal, Yahoo, Zappos, SpaceX, Dropbox, Reddit, Bird, Tumblr, Snowflake, Robinhood, and Zoom. Okay. Sequoia Capital has big time connections to a lot of very powerful people. You've got the PayPal mafia in here, because you've got PayPal, you've got SpaceX, you've got and of course you've got the Facebook crew too, because you've got WhatsApp, Instagram. Those are firms that were acquired. I think Facebook paid $1 billion for Instagram. They stole that company. They spent $17 billion on WhatsApp. I think they overpaid for WhatsApp and they stole Instagram. So maybe combined, it's a wash. But this is a capital company that's really good at recognizing talent, recognizing great ideas when they see them. And as John Rappaport described it, when these guys get involved, they attach a rocket to the back of these companies. And so I think that it's something to just watch, because if you have a little conspiratorial mind like mine, you start to connect dots, and sometimes you're connecting dots that don't mean anything. I'll be honest. There's not always a connection to something nefarious going on. I wish that there weren't any connections. I wish this was all just a giant coincidence. I just don't think it is. And so the least we can do is examine it and try and make some sense of it. And maybe there's nothing to see here. But I think there is. I think that when you have this much money at your disposal, and you have the ability to sprinkle that on certain companies and accelerate their growth, it's reasonable to think that that's, you know, you that there's power behind that. And now the World Economic Forum says to these groups, you know, we like what you're doing with these technologies. We're interested in technology ourselves. Have you noticed we're doing the fourth industrial revolution over here? We're going to blend man with machine. We're going to create transhumanism. So it makes sense if you're an evil villain running the World Economic Forum that you would be looking for firms like this to partner with. It makes sense. It's logical. So let's ask, who else are they partnered with? Well, this was the one that really got John Rappaport going, and it's Accel Partners. Okay. And Jim Breyer, their founder, in particular. So let's talk about this a little bit. Jim Breyer was involved in the Facebook growth, much like Peter Thiel was, but nobody talks about him. They talk about Peter Thiel, they talk about that story. Hell, they made it into a movie. Everybody knows about that. But nobody knows about Jim Breyer. I shouldn't say nobody knows about Jim Breyer with Facebook. I'm just saying it's not publicized the way that everything else is. And you have to kind of wonder, like, well, why him? Like, why do we care what Jim Breyer's doing? Is he somehow a bad guy or something? Or what, you know, let's talk, you know, what's going on with, let me talk to you about his company first, and then I'll go into him personally. So let's talk about Accel Partners. They are, I'll list off a group of companies that they have funded. So DJI, you know that company? That's the company that makes the drones. Just again, World Economic Forum connected. Accel Partners has put money into the largest manufacturer of drones, okay? Discord, DocuSign, Dropbox, Facebook. They put $13 million of seed financing into Facebook, and they got their money's worth. Legendary Production Studios, the movie studios. PillPack by Amazon Pharmacy. I'm sure the WEF is interested in that, wouldn't you say? PharmaCCX, that's cancer drugs. Those are going to be doing really well after everybody takes the other injections that they have. Slack, Venmo, and then we'll get into a couple of three other companies that Accel Partners has invested in that I think are of particular notice. First, CrowdStrike, disinformation. CrowdStrike. Okay. Keep them in mind. But Accel Partners and their deep state, and I mean deep state connected founder, Jim Breyer, has also invested and owns the majority share of GoFundMe. What a fucking surprise. Oh, and guess who else they're invested in? Spotify. I think John Rappaport has found the right guy. I think that Jim Breyer is the common thread here. I think that he's the guy. So he has now started his own firm, a different firm, not Accel Partners. I'm not crystal clear on the relationship now between the two. I don't know if he's still involved in the old one or not, but he is a multi-billionaire worth about $3 billion. He quietly put $13 million into Facebook. And the reason why I say he quietly put $13 million into Facebook is because he is deeply involved with InQtel and the Council on Foreign Relations and personally involved with the World Economic Forum. He's got the triple crown. World Economic Forum, Council on Foreign Relations, InQtel, CIA, CFR, WEF. That's Jim Breyer. He's put a lot of money into companies that censor people, like Facebook, like Spotify, like GoFundMe. Is this starting to make sense to people? Are we starting to see that there might be a boogeyman after all? Did I mention he's Mitch McConnell's brother-in-law? Must have slipped my mind. So he's got a new firm called Breyer Capital, and they're based in Austin. He's left Silicon Valley, based in Austin, and they are betting big on a few things. Artificial intelligence. God, I wonder why. I wonder why the guy that's deeply tied to the World Economic Forum and the CIA and the Council on Foreign Relations has 25 companies that he's funding currently that are involved in artificial intelligence. But that's not it. If that's not scary enough for you, he's got 14 companies right now that are invested in, that he has invested in, that are in the business of what they describe as digital health and everything that comes with digital health, which is a slippery slope, as we found out in the last 2 years here. He's got 5 companies that he's invested in that are involved in climate change. Again, not hard to figure out why he's invested in these. He knows that the World Economic Forum is going to be pushing this. This is the new agenda. So he doesn't need to tie a rocket onto these. The World Economic Forum is going to do the heavy lifting for him. He just has to put money in it. And in his case, it's smart money. Because if you're one of these 25 AI companies, and the guy who's giving you the money to start your company or take your company to the next level is partnered with the World Economic Forum, and not just a little bit either. He's like, he's very deeply involved with them. Well, your company may be one of the companies that the World Economic Forum leans on to build out this dystopian hellscape. Lucky you. You'll be a billionaire. You won't have to eat the bugs. If Jim Breyer is investing in your AI company, he's got investments in another industry called human assisted intelligence. That is, again, a very slippery slope when you start investing in things like that. And I'm not against technology, and I'm not against improvements and all that. I'm just very suspicious when the technology and the improvements are in the hands of the wrong people. That's all. Because we know that these technologies can be used for good or evil. Yeah, you want to engineer something that saves people's lives. I'm all for that. But just recognize that same technology can be used for nefarious purposes. And if the World Economic Forum has their way, it's going to be used for either the enslavement of humanity or the murder of humanity. Take your pick. Either way, not good. So this guy sits on the board of some very prominent companies. Jim Breyer sits on the board of directors of Blackstone, Facebook, Dell, Walmart, and Marvel Entertainment. So, God, when you're sitting on the board of Marvel, I wonder if he's involved in some of the woke bullshit. I don't know. He's got a ton of investments in China. He's so invested in China that when you go to his Breyer Capital website and you read his bio, there's a button up at the top that says, see the bio in Chinese. I've never seen that before. So anyway, they're deep into the China game. That's what I'm saying. And he's close friends with Gilman Louie. Who's Gilman Louie? Who's this guy? Well, he was only the first CEO of InQtel and the head of the National Venture Capital Association. And these guys are like this. So I have questions, you know? I have questions because Accel Partners and Technology Crossover Ventures, another venture capital firm, in 2015, they came together and for $600 million, they bought GoFundMe. So don't tell me he doesn't have the ability to pick up the phone and tell them the truckers don't get their money. So let's examine this potential chain of events. The truckers in Canada start doing their thing, and I'm fully supportive of the truckers in Canada. Somebody starts a GoFundMe account that takes off and generates $10 million for these guys. Great. GoFundMe makes an announcement that they're keeping the money, diverting it to their real charities. They said, this is not a real charity. This is terrorism or whatever the fuck they said it was. And we're going to divert the money that you gave it, the $10 million. We're not going to give it to the truckers. We're going to give it to different charities that have nothing to do with what you gave us the money for. And people are like, are you out of your mind? And then Ron DeSantis got involved, and then some other governors got involved, and they start saying, we're opening an investigation into GoFundMe, and we're going to see if we're going to bring criminal charges. So then they go, oh, okay. We're going to refund you all your money. Well, fuck you for that too. That's not the point. We didn't want you to refund the money. They gave the money because they wanted it to go to the truckers, and you're not giving it to the truckers. What the hell is going on in GoFundMe? I'll tell you what's going on in GoFundMe. The World Economic Forum, InQtel, CFR connected Jim Breyer, who bought GoFundMe through Accel Partners and his partnership with Technology Crossover Ventures for $600 million 7 years ago, picked up the phone, called the CEOs of GoFundMe and said, "Don't you give that money to the truckers or you're out." That is my assumption of how this went. I wasn't there, but those are some pretty big dots, wouldn't you say? I think that it's, and look, Accel has investments with Spotify too. Daniel Ek, Jim Breyer, what's going on? We got a problem with Rogan. Can't have this shit, man. We got a lot of money invested in this. You do too. Can't happen. Is that how it went down at Spotify? Maybe. I don't know. Maybe Daniel Ek didn't need a kick in the balls. Maybe he wanted to do it. I don't know. But my guess is that it was pressure from somewhere else. I wonder what's going on Spotify's board of director. Well, last year they added somebody. Mona Sutphen, private equity advisor. She was added to the board. She's got an impressive bio. She's a private equity advisor for a big firm. She's a former senior White House official under Barack Obama. There's your agenda. She is a Black woman on the Spotify board, and she's super qualified too, as a matter of fact. She really is. I'm not being sarcastic. She's really qualified, which is kind of the problem. She's a member of the CFR. She worked on regulating agenda for Obama's tech policy. No wonder they wanted her. She's deep state. They got a deep stater on the board of Spotify. And how do I know this? Well, because she's not just on the board of Spotify, she's on the board of another group, International Rescue Committee. It's a charity, don't you know? It's an international rescue committee. Oh, this is great. She must be a philanthropist, right? Well, I don't know too many international rescue committees that are filled with a bunch of fucking bankers like this one. Tim Geithner, former Treasury Secretary. What's he doing on a rescue charity board? That's weird. But, you know, if it's just Tim Geithner, it's no big deal. Lawrence Fink, CEO of BlackRock. Uh-oh, here we go. She's on the board with Lawrence Fink. She's another person that's on this board of this, what can best be described as a sham charity. The former head of the United Nations Human Rights, Janet Napolitano. You remember her, the Department of Homeland Security Secretary that said, if you see something, say something? You mean like Julian Assange did? No, thank you. But it can't get any worse than that, right? Like, you can't, like, a board of directors with that many deep state scumbags, you can't, you don't have room for anyone. Oh, Madeleine Albright's on it. Oh my, was Satan unavailable? Well, apparently he was, because Henry Kissinger is also on this board too. Satan himself. And John Mack, the CEO of Morgan Stanley. And Scott Pelley from 60 Minutes. And Condoleezza Rice. And the president of the Rockefeller Foundation. They're all on this fucking charity board, along with this lady that nobody's ever heard of, Mona Sutphen, who's now on the board of directors of Spotify. But I'm sure it's all just a gigantic coincidence that they wanted to silence Joe Rogan. I'm sure it's just how it goes. GoFundMe's board is not great either. Not gonna lie to you. You know, we talked about Jim Breyer being involved in GoFundMe through Accel Partners, but it's not limited to just him. On GoFundMe's board of directors, you've got Scott Wagner. He's a former operating partner at KKR, the Kravitz, Kohlberg, Kravitz, and Roberts. You know, the the World Economic Forum connected KKR. He's sitting on the board of GoFundMe. You've got John Locke from Accel Partners, World Economic Forum connected Accel Partners, sitting on the board of GoFundMe. You have James Slatvik from Greylock, InQtel connected Greylock, sitting on the board of GoFundMe. What did you think was going to happen? And in case you were wondering who some of the companies are that have partnerships with the World Economic Forum that are out in the open, not hidden behind layers of VC funding or anything like that, out in the open. These are some partners that you would recognize that have direct ties and a formal partnership with the World Economic Forum. And they're going to come as no surprise to you either. Amazon, Apple, Cisco, Google, Intel, Meta / Facebook, Microsoft, Palantir, Uber, and Zoom. So that's not good. But I don't want to leave out one. There's one more firm out there that I would be remiss if I left them out. And that's Google Ventures. Changed their name now to GV. They just abbreviated it. Google Ventures is a venture capital firm. You know, it's funded. They funded it, I think, in 2009. Started off with like $100 million. And they said, well, go make something happen. And they did. You want to know the companies that Google Ventures has invested in? They're good ones. I mean, they've made a lot of money from this. Uber, Nest, Lime, Anchor, Nextdoor, Periscope, Robinhood, Slack, Stripe, DocuSign, and 23andMe. But of course, the CEO and founder of 23andMe is one of the Wojcikis, okay? I think it's Ann Wojcicki, sister of Susan Wojcicki, who runs YouTube. Ann Wojcicki was married to Sergey Brin, the co-founder of Google. It's a nasty little group. So Google Ventures has a woman named Avid Duggan working there. She is a general partner at Google Ventures, which is a great title to have and a big deal, but it pales in comparison to the other title that she has. She is a young global leader at the World Economic Forum, just like Emmanuel Macron, Justin Trudeau, and Jacinda Ardern, and Lena Wynne, all these soulless pieces of shit that they identify early on, connect them in their young leaders program, and then place them in positions of power. And last but not least, there is one listed advisor on Google Ventures, GV. She's the only advisor they have listed there. She's not the CEO. She's just listed as the advisor. Her name is Sue Desmond-Hellman. And she's on the board. She's not just an advisor for Google Ventures, for their venture capital firm. She's also on the board of Pfizer. But that's not the most alarming part of this. Because you see, before she became an advisor at Google Ventures, she had to leave her position as the CEO of the Bill and Melinda Gates Foundation. I'm sorry. I wish I didn't have to connect all these dots. I wish these things weren't happening. I wish. Hey, listen, if you like this episode, you can take the additional step right now of sharing it with your friends and family members. This is how the channel grows. If you want to connect with me, you can do so through the website, theoctopusofglobalcontrol.com. We have cool stuff going on over there. I got a great merchandise store. I'm telling you, we got shirts and stickers and all kinds of things. It'll trigger people in your family. If you want to get a mug that says false flag and have people at work asking about it, I think I might be one of the few places where you can go and get that. Thanks, everybody. I'll talk to you again soon.